This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Please join us for a word of prayer.
Father God, I want to thank you for this opportunity to share the word you had bestowed upon me with your people. We want to pray that your word goes out, reaches all your people. We thank you for having the podcast, the internet, Zoom, all these ways of reaching your people. And we pray that it falls on those ears that they listen and hear and want to go out and get to know you even better and want to go out and minister to your people, share your word with others. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be your servant, to share your word. I pray that many others are also grateful for whatever they hear, that they go out and do what you would want them to do, that they pray to you for your guidance in what they go out to do, that they remember that you will always be with them, your Holy Spirit is always in them, working with them to help them accomplish your will, because your task is a simple task of showing others love, whether through some moments of silent prayer, or moments of sharing some comforting words, a gift, a hug, a card. However we want people to be reached, however you want people to be reached, please help us all go out and share your word and reach them so that way they can reach you and be amazed and blessed as you have blessed us. And they'll be justified and glorified. They'll join you in your glory. All this we ask in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979 8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas, 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
The Bible says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Now let's join Dr. Jacques Richard as he explores this topic further.
Lord, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. Put me behind the cross. Let your word, not my words, go to your people. On this fifth Sunday of Pentecost, let me speak in the tongue that your people can hear and understand, so that your word can go out and fulfill its mission. In the name of your son Jesus, I pray. Amen. So, as in Romans, as the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, can we intercede for others? Do we know how? Do we know how to stay calm and just show love? Can we just relax and share the blessings? And call this God calling you to talk, to love about Jesus' love to others, because I think it's a thing that the world needs a lot of right now. And here I'm mainly talking about agape love here, okay? I'm not a Dr. Ruth or whatever, so I can only talk about Jesus' kind of love. So at the recent Texas United Methodist Church annual conference, the ordination service speaker, Bishop Ruben Sands, had a great quote. "The church that doesn't serve is of no service to God." Well, one easy way we serve is by answering God's call to love God and neighbor as yourself. By doing just that, loving, not judging. Jesus told his followers that the Holy Spirit will help them in Pentecost. If charity begins at home, then we in the church can show that charity to one another. We in the church that follows Jesus Christ can help other church members answer God's call and be Christian examples of God's love. It's important to recognize that when God shows you some folks who are doing something wrong, it is not for you to go badger them, slam them, punish them, talk about them, gossip about them, yell at them, rough them up, certainly not force God on them, but show them love. Show them a way out of what they are doing. If God shows you someone who needs love and you go and get on their case, that's not going to bring them to God. In Romans 8:29-30, where Paul suggests we get a great reward for being the advocate, counselor, helper, paraclete, as Jesus says in John 14, verse 15-16. The Holy Spirit is a paraclete for us. The Holy Spirit can help us be a paraclete for others. Yes, we can intercede for others. The world needs more people who can recognize someone who is not perfect and what to do then. After all, none of us are perfect. Well, more likely, some see others who are not perfect because they think they're perfect, when in reality, it's because they have that same imperfection. We need more people to recognize that not everything that we do is perfect. We have to recognize that something we are doing, which we think is right, which we think is awesome, may actually be taking us away from God. Then we might get out of that spiritual forgetfulness about that pot calling the kettle black, and go quietly and calmly show love. All folks need is someone to show them some love. Not necessarily your way, but their way, or maybe just the way God wants. We also need to recognize that we live in a world where some people make excuses for not doing what Jesus said, while loudly proclaiming that they are being such good Christians. They come up with reasons why. They claim that what they are doing is what God wants. They should pray for the Holy Spirit to help them figure out what God wants and to actually do it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Some have excuses for leaving others in difficult situations. Some think they've done enough. Too many act out of fear instead of love. They respond to false teachers who bark out fear and don't take responsibility for taking in those words of fear and hatred. Well, God is calling us to help, to show his people his son's example of agape love. We have to ask ourselves if we are showing good Christian examples to those in the mission field. It's not that hard. The Holy Spirit is right there with us in the mission field. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.
Amen.
It may be worse than that. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers think that the harvest is beneath them. Ouch. Or it may be that it is not so much that some people don't care or think too much of themselves, but just have been misled into thinking that others do not deserve God's mercy. You know, like, hey, they did something illegal, or that others have earned God's wrath, but we haven't. If they didn't commit that crime, then they probably committed some other crime. They deserve what they get. Some people accept lies like that. The big lie that others did something so wrong that they get what they deserve. Some people have deluded themselves into thinking that things going so well means that they are doing right. You see, some people think that they deserve the best because they don't do anything wrong. Or they are entitled to forgiveness if they did. But others aren't, because they've done things that are too wrong to be forgiven and deserve the hard life that they got. Nah, God can forgive rapists and murderers and use them for his purpose according to the Bible. David, big example. But some of us think that we can only forgive certain rapists and murderers that help us more than they help others. Hey, you know, that person helped my pocketbook. I'm going to follow them. Nah. Some have dehumanized people and made it easy to mistreat them. Some look for excuses about any other who is different, darker, lighter, different religion or politics, Asians, Latin, foreigners, you name it. They fail to see how that kind of thinking takes them down a low road. It happens to one, it's going to happen to you at some point. I don't think they see that. We live in a world where some people are quick to get defensive, while at the same time, they are quick to judge. But those same people are also part of our mission field. We still have to go into the mission field and say, do things out of love so people don't get defensive. We cannot pick and choose to whom God sends us to show his love. We have a task of calmly teaching or gently reminding some people that they could be judged by the same measure they judge others. As in Luke 6, 37 to 38. I warn my students about computer grading because they get on my case about extra points and points. Ugh, I hate that. But I warn them because computers can't give partial credit, no matter how much you try to program them to do that. And to all those who say, we just follow the law, why can't you all? Well, computers follow programs exactly. And they follow the law to the letter, not the spirit of the law. You wouldn't want computers judging us. I prefer human compassion. I think we'd all prefer that. Instead of judging, tell folks to talk to God about what they are doing. Tell them to check the Bible for how God has forgiven some and not just giving commandments. Yes, Jesus calls us to love, not judge, like he said about casting the first stone. Leave judging to God, as in Hebrews 10:30. But show love by helping to make sure that justice is shown to others in all that we do. As one lay servant says, and I'm not stealing somebody else's quote, some people think justice is for just us. Beware of thinking like that. Beware of thinking only a few deserve justice. For the sake of ethical engineering designs, I tell my students to think of different possibilities, perspectives, people, places, etc. You design for people, not for the homework. You're going to use it in some other homework or with your teammates. If you only work for just us, then you end up programming computers that way, and you end up with computers who ID some people like animals or criminals, because the computers were programmed by one group of people for only one group of people. I want students to understand that ethics should be part of engineering. It's kind of like telling them to practice love through justice in their work. I tell students not to blame computers and to take responsibility for their work because they programmed the computers. Own your work. I want to empower them to recognize how one engineer can make a difference, like one nice tweet. I want students to become engineers who try to avoid discrepancies and inequities from the start of the design process. I tell them that what they think will end up in how they do their work, how they program their computers, like in Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 7 to 10. As a person thinks, they also do. And it ends up showing up in how they do their work. One person is big on computer-controlled cars, but fears artificial intelligence. Kind of makes me wonder if his cars are going to be paranoid cars. Yeah. I know our task is not easy because some people could take it for granted when we serve God by serving them. I'm kind of afraid of telling my students I'm serving God by serving them because they might take advantage of that. They may think they're entitled to be served. They're better than us. They want you to do for them out of love, but can't think of how to reciprocate. Or they will only do so because you must reciprocate. Pay it forward sometimes feels like using selfishness to push selflessness, but I guess it's a start. Well, no matter how others take it, we're doing it for Jesus, right? So keep eyes on Jesus. We do out of love for any tiny improvement in any one person in the world. After all, the pandemic starts with one person's illness. So we just need to reach at least one person for Christ's sake. In John chapter 14, verse 15 to 16, Jesus said at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit will always be with you. You know you'll always have help. You are never left to fend on your own. God provides other church members to help every other church member do the godly work. There are other Christians out there to spread God's love. Unfortunately, we cannot always agree on what that is or how to do that. We cannot always agree on what to say. However, the message from Acts is that speaking in tongues means that the word can be said in different languages or different ways. If you don't get it or don't like my way, there are other lay servants at First United. Sometimes I ask a student in class to explain what I just said to another student to see if that student understands it enough to help the other one get it. Provides another way to share the lesson. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 to 22, Paul points out that the church functions like the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 31, Paul gives examples of how a church can have members act differently according to their gifts. Just like the arm and nose have their different roles. The hand putting a wipe together to the nose does not mean the hand is subservient to the nose. They all work together for the sake of the health of the body, for the world's sake. What one of us do, you remember what they've been saying the past year, right? Just enough people wear a mask. What one person does could make a difference. Simple little thing to do. Paul was just pointing out that any church member can go out and speak to anyone in the world in any different way. Even tough love. In any case, we are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit and other church members to help us do God's work and show examples of Jesus' love to the world in different ways. But it starts with love. As Jesus says about the greatest commandment in Matthew 22:39, Mark 12:31, and Luke 10:27. I see why Paul reminds the Galatians in 5:14 of this, because many quote different commandments and forget the greatest one. Paul is not just reminding the Galatians church, he's reminding every church, everyone. We go into the mission field with our individual gifts from God to do his calling, share his word, share his blessings, share Jesus' examples, make disciples of Jesus Christ, the United Methodist Church's mission. We do not compete for who says it best. The word is his, not ours. You're not here to listen to me. You want to hear God's word, right? All right. Love does not compete for who says it best. There is no competition in love. Doesn't make sense. There's no competition in the church. Doesn't make sense. Not in love, not in the church. Especially if you love others as yourself, because you can't compete with yourself, right? For example, it is senseless to compete with the choir when I can't sing. Nor for the finance team to compete with the SBRC. But competition is throughout history. Like many went into the new world to compete with other countries for riches. Many others got hurt in that process. Our ancestors. Missionaries did not come first. No, that wasn't the first reason for going out into the new world. I bet more survivor-type contestants were the kind of people who were going out competing for a seat on the Mayflower than any rich people were ready to leave their palaces for that trip. I wouldn't leave a palace for a trip on the Mayflower. I'm comfortable, right? But those who want to fight for something, like, I'm going to fight like I'm on some, you know, what's that show, Survivor, right? How much money do you make on Survivor? Is it a million? It's not worth it, is it? Uh-uh. But competition is often touted. But it does not belong in love, certainly not in the church. God does not compare us inside the church, nor one church to another. I don't think God cares whether it is the First United College Station or First United Bryan. He's glad there's a First United. I hear sportscasters say, that team deserved a victory. Just feels misguided to use that deserve word like that. Like students coming, I deserve an A. Yeah, you know, I've seen your work. I graded it. No, don't say that, because God gets the glory. We should be grateful that God does not always give us what we really deserve. But we can't help it sometimes, it's if it's in history. But the Holy Spirit can help us forgive some history and do better. Paul encourages us as a church to hold on to that love when we say and do things out of love. As he told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 13, not to just speak in tongues, be martyrs, etc., etc. We sometimes just need to pray to God for the Holy Spirit to fill us with a reminder of our role as church team members. In 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 8, verse 7 through 15, Paul wants the church to stick to doing the work that Jesus started and to keep doing things out of love. Keep doing the work that Jesus started with the church and do things out of faith in his love. God calls you to love and makes it easy by giving you different ways to show that agape love. You can be like Elihu, who did better when he didn't say anything to Job. As I read Job, I just kept thinking he was doing great until he opened his mouth. You could do like that. Let someone else talk as much as they want. Listen instead of trying to think of great words to say. Imagine that. Silence, a sacrifice. Silence, a sacrifice? Well, for some people who like to talk, maybe. For some, easy. A small sacrifice for one could be a comfort or a huge miracle for another. A miracle need not be raising anyone from the dead like Jesus did, but a silent shoulder to lean on, a place to rest their head or feet or a card. Today, the first Sunday of Pentecost, Jesus rose from the dead to show us the gift of eternal life. And all he asks is for us to go and share that gift with others without wasting time explaining the mystery of it. Are we going to decline? Again, the recent ordination service speaker, Bishop Ruben Sons, put it nicely. The church that doesn't serve is of no service to God. If a church has worshiped together and practiced sharing the word like in Sunday school or Bible study, or here, then they are ready to share the word outside the church. Let's show our faith in Jesus and what he sacrificed for us and be of service to God. We're not doing it to get eternal life. Remember, predestination, God determines who gets that. Besides, it seems like selfish reasons to be selfish. But some people need a gentle nudge to see beyond themselves and not treat others as other. So we need reminded that there is no other, because we are all God's heirs. As in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. We all inherit a slot in heaven if we want it. God's love is infinite. He is Father to all. He has enough love for all. He has enough room in heaven for all, because he does not desire that any should perish. If we are church folk, if we are good Christians, if we call ourselves Christians, then we need to get to many to see that there's enough eternal life for all. There's no need to fear others taking too much or taking what we got. Whatever we got is God's gift for us to share. Plus, there's no fear in love. So let's share love out of trust in God's promise of eternal life and out of faith in Jesus. Again, it's easy to share that agape love. You're not sharing girlfriends or boyfriends. You're sharing agape love. In fact, my favorite way, silence. Go ahead, rest your head on my shoulder. If I don't have to say anything, I'm good. Romans 8:30. Paul says that we will be justified and glorified. Some people think that they already are justified and glorified because they must be doing something right, because they got big money, fancy jobs, cars, houses. Well, our task is to gently remind them of Romans 8:28. God's grace is for those who work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. He predestines. He qualifies. He doesn't call the qualified, He qualified the calls, right? Amen. Okay? Paul says it starts with love, our mission. Remember the First United mission? Go out and make disciples of Jesus Christ. It starts with our love. If we can't show love as the church, how are we going to get them to do anything? So yes, starts with love, as he says in 1 Corinthians 13. And James backs that up and says, let your faith get you to go out and do out of love. Show examples of Christ's love in you. Show that Jesus' love in you. And then we get justified and glorified as heirs of the Father. And as heirs, we have a brother in Jesus who lived examples of love for us, the love that our Father shows. So let's go into the mission field with our first thought: to show good examples when called. And so, let's go show good examples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.